Second Epistle of Peter, chapter 2, from the verse number 9 to the end of this chapter.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that will clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb: the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
It is clear, and we have many testimonies to confirm the verse number 9, the Lord knows to deliver his own. It is vital for us to remember our Lord's grace and power in his loving care for us. I know I need more awareness and confidence in him. Trusting and obeying the Lord opens our heart and our mind for the multitude of blessings we ignore and fail to multiply in our worries and unbelief. Trusting and obeying our Lord's goodness, power, and wisdom, we are delivered from or through testing. The way of deliverance appeared too hard to Lot. The undelivered sinners had it much more difficult. They were destroyed. None of us will ever suffer as much as our Savior. In all our adversities, He is our strength and comfort. He is our victory. His victory in us. The Lord also remembers all the evildoers. In his righteousness, the Lord labored to warn the sinners of their end. He clearly declared every sin must be punished. Those that continue in their sin to the end of their life in the flesh do not just disappear out of their existence. Every soul is kept for the reward each one has chosen. The Savior is calling to repentance, and the godly testimony of the faithful is an echo of his call. The stubborn persistence in the basest filth of the flesh is pulling human hearts into deeper darkness. The end of that path is God's everlasting condemnation of everyone in rebellion against God's authority. Satan's deception blinds the rebels and makes them presumptuous and self-willed. those that blaspheme God's message and his messengers sin against their own soul. Satan is raging in his slaves of sin against the righteous, but the messengers of our Lord are patient. They are not hasting to pronounce the final judgment. They are waiting on the Lord. We are instructed in the Epistle to Titus chapter 3, verse 3, not to forget our former foolishness. Paul is encouraging us to desire our Lord's salvation to every soul. Let us be humble and patient, following our Lord's example on the path to glory. As an animal can behave only in its natural manner, so the victims of the devil can only do Satan's will. Sinners' thinking, desires, and acting lead in one and only direction, self-condemnation and self-destruction, just like the herd of pigs in Mark's book 5:13. Sinners in open, intentional rebellion are corrupting themselves and encouraging the others around to multiply sin. If the raging evildoers could have their will imposed on the others, they would force the whole humanity into sin and destruction. The rebels we are reading about in the verses 12 through 15 are not ignorant Gentiles, but grossly perverted nominal believers. The following verses are presenting colorful spectrum of evil manners from which we must keep ourselves far away. In the verse number 13, we see the weight of their sin, persistent unrighteousness leading to God's judgment. This is not groping in darkness of ignorance. This is reveling in evil, knowing the word of God, and at the same time deceitfully feasting with the faithful. These slaves of sin seem to be amused in their deceiving the genuine Christians, but in the sight of the Lord, they are spots and blemishes. The Lord knows each person. Nobody can deceive the Lord. Yet he is patiently waiting until his appointed time. I think the eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin is a description of men practicing sin themselves and believing that the faithful believers must be sinful as well. Having plunged into the depth of sin, the adulterers have not desire and power to escape. Lasting in covetousness, they heap upon themselves curse and condemnation, as if their eyes are blinded, their ears deaf, and their mind void of understanding. Repeated neglecting the right way often results in forsaking the Savior and surrendering to Satan. In the verses 15 and 16, we are reminded of the fatal self-deception of Balaam in Numbers 22:5. Having received the commandment of God not to curse Israel, not to encourage the enemies, Balaam still lusted after the reward of unrighteousness. He was afraid of God. He repeatedly stated that he can do nothing against the will of God, but he continually longed for transgression. For fear of swift punishment, he would not openly help God's enemies. But with his repeated attempts, Balaam is teaching the enemies to keep trying. The Moabites persisted in Balaam's satanic devices, and some Israelites were foolish to fall into the snare of their adversaries, but the faithful souls were preserved by the Lord. In Luke's Gospel chapter 19, from the verse number 12 and on, is a parable. In the verse 22, the disobedient servant is condemned by his own words. Sinful lies are self-deceit also. So was Balaam self-condemned by his own words and deeds in the book of the Numbers 22:29. No man can deceive God. He knows our heart and mind perfectly. Another portrait of false religion is a dry well. There is outward form without inward substance. Their manners are only pretense, but their reality is total emptiness. The winds of false teachings move the clouds of smoke, but there is no blessing of rain. When a man forsakes the light of the truth, all that is left to him is awful darkness. Decorative speech of deceivers is filled with emptiness. Sinful lusts are beautified by false promises of deceiving pleasures devised to trap unstable, ignorant souls. Liberty to sin is slavery to death. Liberty in Christ is victory over sin and death. We cannot serve the Savior and the Destroyer. Christ's victory in our life is evident in our full submission to His will, our doing the Father's will from the heart. That is liberty. It can be a very difficult duty for a young disciple to openly correct a teacher. False teachers frequently take every possible advantage and claim their supposed authority as they try to impose their false teaching upon the sincere and faithful believers. In the second epistle of John, we see a drama between the true and false believers and the difference between the faithful and the perverted. Our Lord Jesus was challenged by so many false teachers and deceivers, but never yielded to their demands. A significant portion of the first epistle of John is dealing with false teachers and disciples, and in the chapter 4 we are given some helpful tests. May the Lord make us and keep us prayerful, and also answer our prayers when we face gospel enemies from within. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. An important help is in never forgetting the might and goodness of our Lord. It is also good for us to remember our Lord's victory in patient suffering to the end. He can help us to endure patiently. Apostle Paul's credentials were questioned by some believers in the 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It is dreadful to be reserved for the day of God's judgment. As long as we have an opportunity, we are encouraged to pray for God's mercy and deliverance for the lost. Pollution of the world and filth of the flesh are often coupled with confusion of the mind. Multiplying sins, the lost are emboldened to cast off every restraint, unaware of their falling deeper and deeper into darkness. In the 1 Corinthians 6:18, Paul wrote, "Flee fornication, impurity, lusting after evil, pride in sin, despising godliness and daring foolishness, caused the destruction of a tribe in Israel in the book of Judges chapter 20. The day of grace will be over. The day of judgment is bringing severe punishment to all sinners. The angels will not utter final condemnation against the false teachers among Christians. In the great might given them by God, they wait on Him to lead, and they wait on Him to give the final judgment. They worship God as the first and the last, the Almighty. On the other side of the front line, in the battle, as the devil is roaring like a lion, but cannot harm the souls in Christ's loving care, Devil's slaves are blaspheming and showing as much power as they can, the power they do not really have. Let us follow the Lord. Let us be quick to hear the words of our leader. Let us beware of talking sinful words. Let us not get angry. Devil's victims have our pity. But for the grace of God, I could be one of them. We behold the goodness and severity of God in Romans 11:22. His grace I can never earn. The difference in the manners of the two opposing sides indicate two natures. On this side are spiritual and angelic beings, on the other side fallen race and demons. As the sides are different, so are the paths and goals. One destiny is forever glorious, the other is endless misery. Satan's intention has been to degrade the rulers of the Garden of Eden below the level of beasts. By giving us the new birth, our Savior is lifting us up from our darkness to His light, from death to the everlasting life. With their own deceiving, the deceivers deceive themselves more than the others. Our Father is seeing them as spots and blemishes. How thankful we must be for being in our Savior. In the verse 18 we see the false teachers using all the dark powers of the evil spirits. They target new and unstable converts, masking their evil purpose with false kindness. It is the duty and ministry of more experienced believers to fellowship with the younger ones to encourage them to grow in charity and godliness, not giving place to the evil seeds. Our daily prayer is our Lord's victory in our heart, mind, and our daily walk. Our soul and body, mind and heart belong to the Lord. Living in Christ is safety and blessedness. Corruption is bondage. In Luke 12:47, the Lord is warning us against willful disobedience. In Hebrews 10:24, we find much admonishment never to turn back from following our Lord. Getting entangled into the pollutions of the world is the way to hell. Sinful excitements are never pure pleasure. They are mixed with bitterness and despair. In the verse 21 of this chapter, we see God's gift in the opportunity of learning the gospel and forsaking sinful practice. Light-mindedly turning back is a grievous sin of falling under God's judgment. Submit to God, resist the devil. Watch and pray, and praise the Lord. Turning away from the Lord easily and falling into gross sins after having been delivered from sinful habits indicates conversion on the surface and not a deep inward change. Short breaking away from sin to return back to the old ways resembles a dog in its filth. Even if a sinner could be persuaded intellectually how pure is the gospel teaching and how abominable immorality is, without inward regeneration, sinful lusts can prevail. In the verse number 22 is a very dramatic presentation of turning away from the truth and going back to sin. By these lines, we are instructed to recognize evil in all of its ugliness, and also to be always on guard not to allow any of this poison to mar our walk with the Lord. As soon as we see that our walk is not close with the Lord, we must not delay improving. Our loving shepherd is tending his sheep faithfully, and no enemy can pluck them out of his hand. May our Heavenly Father keep us from wandering into the mire of rebellion, that our soul be ever safe and blessed in his delightful care. There is no time to waste. If our Master is not coming today, the day of our departure may be here much sooner than we think. Some pilgrims hear the call home in deep age, the others very young. In Mark 13:33, our Lord said, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is."